Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, talking high school sports here for the next 15 to 20 minutes. Brad here with Dalton, as usual. As we are in the middle of November, middle of the football playoffs, basketball season is now underway for everybody. Dalton, how you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm excited. Like you said, we're in the middle of everything now, basically. Soccer's a little bit getting started.
That
basketball
too.
Is, you know, three or four games in for each team, and then football, only a few remaining. But
yep, only six teams from Northeast Mississippi remain in the hunt. They're in the playoffs, one in each classification, by the way. So we're going to look at some of the key games coming up this week. We'll look back at some of last week's results. Had a big upset in the game I was at. We'll look at a little bit of basketball. Dalton's been busy. He was out at Tupelo last night. Have some news, too, some bad news for the Tupelo girls. Anyway, we'll have the athletes of the week, as we always have. So just before we move on, let's remind you, you can access this show in iTunes, Google Play, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Let's start with Pontotoc and Corinth. 4A playoff game. Second round, Pontotoc had one loss on the season coming into this game. They were our number four-ranked large school. Really good team. Been battling through some injuries a lot of the year. They're pretty healthy, really, probably about as healthy as they've been in a while going into this game. Even got Emmanuel Vance out there to get a few carries at running back. Gabe Harmon, of course, got most of them. But, you know, this was a game you figure Pontotoc, even on the road, would be able to handle. And it looked like that early. They jumped out to a 21-0 lead. They scored on the first play of the game. They scored again less than 90 seconds later. And then next thing you know, it's 21-0 after a quarter. And you figure, okay, well, Corinth's done, because Pontotoc's got a really good defense. And you think a 21-0 lead is plenty of cushion. But there's an X factor at work here, and it's that wing T. Okay, I was talking to Jeff Carter before the game, the Pontotoc coach, and talking to him about preparing for this wing T. He's like, yeah, it's never fun. You know, not a lot of teams run it when you have to practice it, and you just got to stay on your assignments and hit your gaps. And, you know, I've seen Corinth play three times now over about a five-week span, so I've gotten a good look at this wing T, and when it's working, it is tough to stop. Even in that game they lost to Ripley I was at, they still, I think, had 400 yards rushing in that game. And they had a good game rushing the ball this time as well. Come back to win 27-24. And a lot of credit to their defense, too, for keeping Pontotoc in check. Pontotoc gets some big pass plays early, and the defensive backs, the secondary, made some adjustments there for Corinth. And really, the run game for Pontotoc never got off the ground. It just really never did. I think that was really key there as well. So Corinth's defense really stepping up. And, you know, they stuck with what they do well. They kept running the ball. They don't throw it a lot. And I think when they did throw it this past week, I don't think they completed a pass. I think they were 0 for 5, 0 for 6. But they just stuck with the run, and it worked. Tam Patterson, in particular, Zach Patterson, part of that as well, and Chris Kelly, those three guys are their options in the run game. They're all good options. Even John D. Warren, the quarterback, he doesn't run a ton. He had a couple of big runs in that game as well. And so Corinth really, with a really nice comeback, and here they are at 7-5 in the third round of the playoffs, the first time they've been this deep, Dalton, I think, since 2008. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking back at midseason, you didn't think, even end of the season, you're like, you know, they're having a nice little season there, but you kind of wonder, you know, you figure they go into Clarksdale in the first round on the road. That's a tough assignment, even if Clarksdale isn't as good as it usually is. So this team, this is probably the biggest surprise of the season, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I definitely would. Sometimes you get hot at the right moments. And,
yeah.
You know, that seems what's been working for them. And, you know, I haven't seen a game. I haven't seen them play. Well, I saw them play against Tupelo, which wasn't much of a game for them.
Early in the year, yeah.
Yeah, but since they've been improving over the course of the season, I haven't really seen them much. But this game against Pontotoc is definitely a shock to me, because I remember seeing your tweets. It was 21-0 in the first quarter. I wrote this game off.
I did too. I was starting to write my lead in my head. I was like, okay, halftime, I'll get to knock out a good bit of this story.
But, you know, they're gritty, so that's what it seems like anyway. You know, they've been fighting. They had a tough loss to Ripley, like you said, that you were at, and then that one right there, they just came back from 21-0.
Yeah, they broke the Brad Locke curse. They were 0-2 with me. They also lost to Senatobia, gave up 300 rushing yards that to a kid that game. But made a nice comeback. Michael Bogus, the kicker, made two huge field goals, including the game winner with 16 seconds left. Got the ball down the field, 31-yard attempt, and he just drilled it. He'd made a 35-yarder earlier. He'd actually missed a couple field goals early in the season. These were, I believe, were his first made field goals of the year. So he's now 2-for-4. I mean, he's a good kicker. Got a good leg. He also was huge in the punting game. Had a couple of nice punts, including one probably went 47, 48 yards there in the fourth quarter. Yeah, 47-yard punt. Kind of really helped flip field position for Corinth. And so Michael Bogus, the hero in that game, and he was almost at a loss for words after the game when I was talking to him.
I guess you can't really ask for a better time to hit your first field goals of the season.
No. Yeah,
especially for a game winner.
Exactly. So congrats to Corinth moving on there with the 27-24 win. Talk about the game. You were at Tupelo, man. Perfect regular season. And then just they laid an egg against Warren Central, which let's give Warren Central credit. We talked about it going into the game last week. They were a 4 seed, not your typical 4 seed, coming out of a really tough division.
Yeah, and I will never discredit Warren Central because they have a fantastic team, but Tupelo really beat themselves. Tupelo is a team that thrives on creating turnovers. You know, there have been multiple games this season where they've created 2, 3, and even 4 turnovers in a game.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't even – I don't think they forced even one. They had one turnover on – they forced one turnover on downs on the one-yard line, but that was it. And but they really just – they turned the ball over 5 times, and they also had turnover on downs, and they lost the field position battle. So, like, I looked at it, it was like – in Warren Central's 6 scoring drives, they scored a touchdown when they started on Tupelo's 14,
uh-huh.
A field goal when they started on Tupelo's 45, a field goal when they started on Tupelo's 10, a touchdown where they started on Tupelo's 24, and then they had a field goal on where they started on their 8, they drove the length of the field, and they had a 75-yard touchdown run.
So it's not like Tupelo's defense played terribly. They just were put in bad positions.
Yeah, they were definitely put in bad positions, and you know they even had a goal line stand there. You know, they had it, I think it was 1st and goal from like the 3-yard line, ended up holding them there, and you know, even as bad as everybody said, you know, Tupelo got whooped. In the fourth quarter, you know, Tupelo had 2 good drives back-to-back. And they made it a – they were a 2-point conversion from being a 1-possession game to this Warren Central team.
So, yeah.
They never really got the ground game going. That really hurt them. Stephon McGlon had a really good series. They were running, but in the second quarter or third quarter, I'm not sure which one, but the referees kind of hurt them there. They had a really weird call where they made them lose a down or two. They got a first and goal, I think, and then got a false start, went back to 1st and 15, and then they had a face mask, and all of a sudden it was 3rd and 3.
That's not right.
And so, but then they turned it over on downs on that drive. 2 plays later, they couldn't get the 3 yards, and that really hurt them.
I think it was this past week. Now I'm thinking about it. It was either this past game or the week before. Something got with some. There was a penalty or two, and things got mixed up. And I went back and double checked, and the offense, whoever it was that had the ball, punted on 3rd down because they had it as 4th down. It should have been 3rd down, and it was confusion. And I've seen this actually one time before. This is years ago, back when I was working at the Oxford Eagle, so late '90s. I was at a Bruce Water Valley game where at the end of the game, Water Valley's trying to score late. The officials inadvertently gave Water Valley a 5th down. That the pass fell incomplete in the end zone. Thank goodness for the officials. Otherwise, Water Valley would have won the game on a 5th down, an extra down. It was just a mass confusion. So, you know, the officials have a tough job. We're not here to rag on them, but sometimes things can get pretty confusing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that it was the officials' fault that Tupelo lost. I mean, Tupelo turned the ball over way too many times. And you know, but they did have kind of a rough game in there, but you know, it happens.
Yeah, we all have off nights. But so Tupelo's season over at, 11-1, I guess. So in 3A, really, what we thought would be a really good game is pretty close. North Pontotoc and Houston. Houston with the win, 27-13. I thought it might be higher scoring, but credit to Houston's defense. I mean, Clark Mills, the quarterback for North Pontotoc, he got his yards. He passed for 385, but North Pontotoc had 0 yards rushing, 0 net yards rushing. That means you're one-dimensional. And Houston with Uriah Shepherd at quarterback, they did enough offensively to get the win there at North Pontotoc. That game was in Ecru in a 3A second-round playoff game. So, You know, I was looking, that was a game that Jonathan Wise was at. I almost sent myself there, but I'd just been there the week before for that Humphreys County game. But Houston, man, with the offense they have, and, you know, I think in all the talk of the offense, Dalton, we kind of forget about that defense. It's pretty good.
Yes, it is. It's been really good all year. And they've taken down some really good quarterbacks and some really good offenses. You know, they beat Nettleton with, you know, Colton Osborne. They beat Itawamba with Jackson Orr. And they beat South Pontotoc with Cole Brown and that, you know, Eddie Ivey and them.
Yeah.
They've taken down some really good offenses this
they
year.
They sure have. And, you know, that don't sleep on Houston. They can make a little run here. You never know. They've got a tough assignment this week. We'll talk about it in just a moment. Some other results quickly from the other night from area teams that won. Oklahoma in 1A defeated McAdams 39-0. Calhoun City came back to beat South Delta, and they had to rally from a 20-point deficit, 36-34, the final there. So the reigning 2A champs still alive. And Starkville had a tough time with South Haven, but they pulled it out 6-0 in a 6A playoff game. Let's look ahead to some big games this week. Again, we've got six games. We've got one team from the area in each classification. Let's first look at Calhoun City going to host Philadelphia. I had a story actually in today's paper about their 2,000-yard rushers, Trishon Cooper and Kashawn Parker. They've combined for, 2,300, 2,400 yards. I don't have the story in front of me. I think Parker has 22 touchdowns. Cooper has like 13 rushing. He's got some receiving. Cooper used to be just a receiver. He's still the leading receiver on the team this year, but this year they asked him to become a bigger part of the running game. Of course, they lost Jesse Neighbors to graduation, but they still got JoJo Gray at quarterback. They had Parker back, but Cooper is kind of that third guy that can really hurt defenses and make it really tough to really key in on any guy. And so, you know, both having great years, found out they're first cousins. Did not know that. But they said they're actually more like brothers. They Cooper and Parker actually lived together for a while. Now they just live down the street from each other. So kind of a family affair with those two. They've been playing together for years, you know, in peewee football and what have you. And now they're making things happen for Calhoun City. And into that game against South Delta, Cooper got a little bit pinned up. He got held in check, but then Parker came through with a big game. I think he had 157 yards and three touchdowns. And again, they were down by 20, and they just went to the wishbone, and Coach Perry Lyle said, "We found something that worked." They couldn't stop it, so they just kept running the same stuff over and over. I mean, nothing fancy, just, you know, that wishbone is another kind of offense that can be tough to deal with. So this week they get Philadelphia, which handled Baldwin pretty well last week, and that's a good team. I think they're 12-1 coming into this game. And Prairie Lyle says they've got a strong and fast defense, so that'll be a fun matchup. That's the game I will be at, by the way, so I'm looking forward to that, seeing that Calhoun City offense with all those weapons going against what looks to be a pretty darn good Philadelphia defense. Houston is hosting Yazoo County. We just mentioned Houston. Yazoo is undefeated, and they've got a fellow named Kenny Gainwell. I believe he was named Mr. Football in 3A, was he not?
He was. He is he's a stud, to say the least. And I'm interested to see, like, you know, we just mentioned Houston's defense and what they've done to, you know, Nettleton and, you know, Itawamba and South Pontotoc, but I think he's going to be the best quarterback they've seen. You know, he's got 945 passing yards, yep, 9 touchdowns, but then he's got almost 1,500 rushing yards and 27 touchdowns on the ground.
So yes,
it's going to be it's going to be tough for him. You know, his stats kind of remind me just like Uriah Shepard's quarterback for Houston. So it'd be interesting to see which team can hold the other one.
They also got a running back, DeVario Sanders, that has rushed for 876 yards and 11 touchdowns. I mean, it's not all Gainwell, but he is obviously the guy that drives the engine there, and has a good receiver in Dontrell Green. And so, and then, you know, got the flip it the other way. You know, what can Yazoo do with Uriah Shepard and that attack, and Quentin May and Jalen May and all those guys? And so that should be a fun game right there. I believe we'll have Ethan Turner covering that game for us. Let me double check. We're going to be at every game, although the West Point at Grenada game, we're going to have to get some help from somebody over there. Houston will, again, host Yazoo County. Oklahoma hosting Brooks. Chieftains are on a roll, man. Lamart Harvey, you know, they're back down in 1A now, and they just they won the division. And what is their winning streak right now,
Dalton? 9 games.
9 games, okay. So, and they're hosting Brooks. I would think Oklahoma would win this game, but you never know. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen, as we saw with Pontotoc and Corinth. But David Wheeler will be at that game for us. So that's a big 1A matchup, Oklahoma and Brooks. Also, we got Horn Lake at Starkville in 6A, West Point at Grenada, as I mentioned, in 5A, and Corinth on the road at Noxubee County in 4A. And, you know, you think probably Noxubee wins that game and Corinth ends its Cinderella run, but they've already beaten two teams I didn't think they'd beat. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting anything past them.
No, you can't. No, I mean, they're doing it.
Yeah, man, they're on a roll. They're hot. They're the hot team right now. So that's just a quick look at the big games coming up this Friday, and we'll have full coverage in Saturday's Journal and at djournal.com, of course. Let's talk a little bit of hoopage real quick, Dalton. We mentioned that the season is underway. You went out to Tupelo last night, got to see the boys and the girls play against Shannon, and the boys had no trouble, did they?
No, they did not. Yeah, I've seen them in the background a couple of times as I was writing my story on the girls in the first few games, but last night those boys, they were just so dominant. There wasn't one player that really stood out,
which is how they were last year, and they lost a lot of those guys, and it looks like Jeff Norwood has just got the same formula, doesn't
mm-hmm. it? Yeah, it really does. And it's just, the game was never even close.
Yeah,
Chris Gillum hit two threes within the first 2 minutes, put them up about like 8-2, I think.
Yeah,
and they never looked back.
Yeah,
they hit 10 threes as a team. They led 48-21 at halftime. Wow. Yeah, you know, you could tell it was 29-12 at the end of the first quarter. It was, you know,
yeah,
hey, this game's over, you know.
Yeah.
And they just kept pushing it. They brought in their B team, their C team, and those guys just couldn't miss.
Wow. 82-45 was the final. Tupelo boys winning. Tupelo girls winning as well, 66-59, and without probably their best player.
Yeah, Chimaya Carruthers tore ACL in the opening game, opening loss to Lafayette. Mm-hmm. It was in the last minute or two. She tore ACL, MCL, and some other ligaments and such in her knee, from what Coach Matt Justice told me. But, you know, the girls' defense, the girls' team, they have depth. That's one thing that he talked to me about, and it's shown. They had the freshman Janiyah Hinton.
Yeah,
who has come in and, you know, against Horn Lake, I think she had 10 points. She had a huge three in the fourth quarter to kind of win that game, or kind of, you know, preserve that win. And then last night she dropped 13 against Shannon, and I think she hit, I don't know if it was two threes or if it was three threes, but she, you know, she's a sharpshooter.
Yeah.
I think to have a freshman that can come in and just shoot lights out, it's going to be big for them.
Yeah, Matt Justice, before the season, I talked to him. He likes some of these younger players. And Shamiya Carruthers, she's only a sophomore. I mean, she's one of those young players. She averaged about 10 points a game last year. And he thinks she could become one of the best players in the state. So, you know, she'll hate to see that happen, you know, especially to such a promising young talent. But hopefully she'll be able to bounce back next year. And, you know, you see these kids bounce back all the time. You look at Mallory Russell at Ingomar. She's had to do it twice now. And you know, she's still a really good player. So best wishes to Shamiya. And I'm sure the Lady Wave will still carry on and be a team to be reckoned with despite that loss. Okay, let's close out the show. Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. That's why it's called Athletes of the Week. It's a weekly feature. Female Athlete of the Week, Tamoya Brownlee of Holka, basketball player there. She had 41 points in a 62-60 win over North Pontotoc on Monday. So she scored about two-thirds of her team's points. So Holka with the win there, and Brownlee with a big game. And also, she had 13 points in a loss to Houston on Tuesday night. And then back on Saturday, she had 15 in a loss to Pontotoc. Both of those are bigger schools than Holka, and she still made big contributions there. So Tamoya Brownlee, your female athlete of the week. Male athlete of the week, we mentioned him earlier, Michael Bogus, kicker for Corinth. Listen, if you hit the game-winning field goal with 16 seconds left in a playoff game to pull off the upset, I'm going to give you athlete of the week. Okay, he had a 35-yarder earlier in the game, then he had a 31-yarder, as I said, with 16 seconds left to give Corinth the big win. And also, I mentioned the punting. He also had an onside kick that he executed that they recovered. They're really good at that. In the game against Senatobia, the game they lost, they successfully executed two onside kicks in that game. Recovered them both. And they recovered this one against Pontotoc. He's a talented kid. So congrats to Michael Bogus and Tamoya Brownlee, your athletes of the week. And that's it for Prep Rally on this Wednesday, the 15th of November. Thanks again for tuning in. Just a reminder, you can catch us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps for updates when new podcast episodes drop, and just anything high school sports related in Northeast Mississippi. Dalton's on Twitter at DLMiddleton8, and I'm on there at Bradlock. And that's it for Prep Rally. We will see y'all next week.